Hello and welcome to episode 392 of the Rollo and Slappy Show, and Dead on Zero episode number 36, I think. It's been a while.
Has been a while.
Man, we really haven't done a Get on Zero episode?
I don't know. We might have threw some in there.
I mean, we talk about it all the time, but whatever.
Certainly.
But today is January 15th, 2023. I am Rollo McFlugel. With me is my co-host, Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/392. Is that what I said?
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. No one pays attention to that. It doesn't matter. It's just tradition at this point. So many things to talk about that I want to kick off this episode, Slappy.
I know. I
so
just
many
like,
things off the bat.
Okay. But I just like that we're approaching 400.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I haven't missed a week yet.
That's I don't
like literally like
I don't think too many podcasts can say that.
No,
we haven't missed a single one. Now I have missed a few episodes.
Yes.
For minor inconveniences.
Mm-hmm.
But
which you were disciplined for.
But the show had to go on.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, I've been on every single episode.
Yeah, every single one. There's not a single one you weren't on. And we don't always record.
Well, it has to be that because I don't think you would know how to.
No, so I could definitely record it. But then uploading it would be where we've run into problems. Now, the good thing is I wouldn't have to learn how to edit.
No. Well.
Well, maybe if I was going solo.
The first time I did a solo episode, it was like way back, like in the teens, probably like between episode 11 and 14.
Really?
If I remember
did
correctly.
I have a kid at that time?
Probably.
Why would I have missed an early one?
I don't know. Maybe it was like we didn't.
What year
really,
did we start this?
Not that we care now, but maybe it was just like, yeah, whatever. No one listens to this, so you might have had a lesser excuse. But it was about religion and war, I think. And I was so proud of myself that I successfully did talking for like 7 or 8 minutes. Where I didn't start stumbling and bumbling around. And then it just all fell apart and I needed to do heavy editing.
I want to go back. Well, I don't really want to go back, but I kind of want to go back and like listen to the first episode.
Yeah.
Because I remember getting to the end of them and being like, we got 15 minutes, right?
Yeah. Wow. Now well, I'll man, go on we talk... like 15 minute monologues without even blinking an eye.
Yeah. Like we can't keep it to 40 minutes now.
It's yeah, and it has nothing to do with filling the first half of the episodes up with
no
important content.
Well, the thing is, we've only recently started putting all that important content up front, relatively
right.
recently,
and we only did it to keep up with the other Bitcoin podcasts out there.
Right.
They all do right. their, the, you know.
I forgot that that's the reason we do it is to fill
yes.
the first 40 minutes with nothing.
Yes.
Like every other Bitcoin podcast. You're right. I forgot about that.
But at least we don't force the listener into some sort of action after that. We just present all this information and they
do
get
with it what you will.
Right. They don't need to go and like click a referral link after that or something. It's great. And speaking of that kind of stuff. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? Oh, what a game. What a game. That was funny.
I love it.
And I remember telling my I was talking to my son. Game's about to kick off, and I'm like, don't get too excited. Dallas going to win this by 40. And I couldn't possibly have been more wrong.
No. No, it's I know Dak Prescott was hoping that he woke up and had a new tattoo. You know that. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
Soft. For those that don't, and I'm sure I've said this on this show 15 times, But Dak Prescott got put under general anesthesia to get his tattoo. At least one of his tattoos. Ah, lovely. At least I don't think he stepped out of bounds on a 2-point conversion or anything this time.
Tony Romo didn't drop an extra point or something like that.
No, that's got to be up there in the best Dallas collapse.
What I love about it most, I think, is Schadenfreude the right word?
Yes.
Because all the Cowboys fans, I just think it's so funny. Like, now it's our year. This is the year. It's so funny how they just fold in the playoffs.
Yeah, this was like they were steaming, we were told.
They haven't lost a home game since the last time they won a Super Bowl. This is all you keep hearing about.
16 regular season games in a row.
Yeah.
That basically means two seasons they have not lost at home, and then they finally get a playoff game at home. And
did I see a stat that the Green Bay Packers have won more playoff games in that stadium than the Cowboys have?
I didn't see that, but that would be great.
I'm pretty sure I saw that.
Yeah, I think they have the most.
Someone else tweeted that Texas taxpayers paid X number of dollars for Green Bay to have a home stadium.
Yeah, rookie quarterback. My favorite thing about watching Dallas lose is that they always put the camera up in the owner's box so you can see Jerry Jones just.
Yeah.
Squirming.
Did Mike McCarthy get fired? I know everyone was saying it's going to happen, but did it?
I don't know. I hope he doesn't.
I they do whatever they want. That's right. Funny. No matter what they do, it's not going to work. We know that.
No. It's just, man. And the best thing is, well, it just goes to show how smart the Eagles were for, you know, letting those games go at the end of the season, because they're like, well, you know what? Green Bay is hot. And Jordan Love, he's a rookie quarterback. He's not only got to fill the shoes. Remember when Brett Favre retired and you had this, kind of like Plato looking guy, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback. And you're like, man, he's got to fill in for, he's got to take over for Brett Favre. Wow. Like, man, those are some shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers goes on to be arguably better than Brett Favre. I mean, even if you want to, say Favre was better, fine.
it's kind of like, so it's, the game changed from the early 90s when Brett Favre started till when Aaron Rodgers finished. I guess he's technically not done his career, but you certainly couldn't say, if you think Brett Favre is better, Aaron Rodgers isn't much worse.
No, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, take your, like, I'm not going to, if someone says, no, I think Favre was better. Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Like, I mean, what do you, it's either one. And so knowing that Jordan Love's got to come in and fill those shoes of two of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, you know, the Eagles didn't want to ruin his career
this early.
And so they thought the better story would be that if they, you know, had Jordan Love go in and just demolish Dallas.
That's what they did.
Yep.
And now the Eagles get a matchup with Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks, which will be tonight.
Yes.
So we'll see if the Eagles feel like continuing on. There's all these storylines in the NFC with the Lions winning their first playoff game since the last time the Cowboys won a Super Bowl, I think.
Pretty much.
Everyone's all excited for them. You got the Jordan Love, Green Bay. You know, then you got the Eagles and then Niners. So We'll see if the Eagles want one of these fairy tale stories to go forward or if they want to win it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they decide to do. I trust them. Another big news, the Flyers are also playing tonight, and they're playing the St. Louis Blues.
What will you be watching?
I don't know if my TV will do it for football and hockey, but you can do the side-by-side sometimes.
That's true.
I kind of want to see – this is Kevin Hayes' first game back. And so I kind of want to see the reactions there, especially with all the drama that happened with Cutter Gauthier, which apparently Hayes had nothing to do with. And did you see – would you hear about all that with the – we talked about the Cutter Gauthier thing.
Sure. What did Hayes do?
Well, he was well known to have been – we'll call it didn't buddies? Quite fit in
sure
with the Flyers, especially when Tortorella came and coached. And so that's one of the reasons they got rid of him. He just, for whatever reason, wasn't a fit. And one of the kind of Philly Flyers beat writers said in the podcast that like, oh, well, this has Kevin Hayes' fingerprints all over it. I've got a source that said blah, 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 that. And there were some guys in this other podcast with Paul Bissonnette and Ray Whitney who are friends with Kevin Hayes. Those are two former players. And they reached out to him, and Hayes is like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I never talked to this kid. And then they went on to say that, well, maybe it had something to do with Cutter Gauthier's father, Dennis Gauthier, was a former Flyer who got sent to the minors or something on the team. So maybe there's some issues with that. Unfortunately, despite having the same last name, Denny Gauthier is not the father of Cutter Gauthier. So it's funny how, you know, one side of the media is like, how dare you, you know, say something that's, you know, not very well founded. And then they go and just, because the guy's got the same last name, just assume he's the kid's dad. So sloppy. But anyway, Kevin Hayes was denying everything, didn't stop, you know, the fans and everything from going wild. And in the last game's press conference afterwards, John Tortorella, the Flyers beat the best team in the NHL on like an 8-game winning streak. Went up to Winnipeg, shut them out 2-0 without two of their better players. But Tortorella is in the press conference. Goes, is that guy who said the Kevin Hayes stuff here? Is he here? And he's like, yeah, I'm here. And he goes, what are you doing? He's like, Kevin Hayes, you know, we had our problems, and he's not on the team anymore, but he's a good guy, and like. I know you're going to say you have your sources, but I call bull on that. That's going to stay, like, that rumor is going to stay with him, even if you take it back. And it's not fair to him. Like, how dare you do that? So I love that when the players and coaches and stuff turn on the media, because the media, in sports especially, but in general, a lot of them are scumbags. And they'll just lie and make up stories. And when I say lie, when they get like some sort of really bad information they know is probably not true, but they go with it and they go, oh, I guess my source was wrong. That's lying. So I love it when they go after the media like that and just tell them off. It's jacked up. Especially when it's like locker room. Like they don't, like you say all the time, teams don't tell you what's going on closed doors. Like they might let you say what you think is going on, but man, it's so stupid that these beat writers think that they have the pulse of the locker room and stuff. And yes, it's annoying to me that they think. You know, obviously players need to have tough skin, and you have to understand if you're a professional athlete, the media is going to say stuff about you, whatever. But at the same time, it doesn't make it right for these people to go out and just make up stories and lie and treat them unfairly. So
yeah, reporters are the worst people on the planet.
Yes.
Or at least they're up there.
So the Flyers fans, regardless of that, already didn't like Kevin Hayes because of just he wasn't a fit. And so he's not on the Flyers anymore. So we hate you, which is the way it goes, which is the way it should be.
Yeah, which is so what follows logically.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. But the real game is going to be when Cutter Gauthier comes back to Philly. Unfortunately, he's in the Western Conference now. So we'll only get to see him in Philly once a year as they do the scheduling now. But that's going to be wild because when that news of the trade first dropped, everyone was really upset because they're like, this is the best prospect we've had in years. Mm. And now we just traded him. And then they found out a little bit what happened, which from what I've read about what went on, like the Flyers bent over backwards. Danny Briere and Keith Jones went to Sweden during the World Juniors to go try to talk to him. They sent John LeClair and Patrick Sharp up to Boston College. And apparently when you know they got there, Gauthier just sent the coach out to talk to him. Like just totally ghosted the team that drafted him after telling them that he was born to be a Flyer and everything on draft day. So,
yeah, I wonder what the truth is. I don't know that anyone will ever know it other than the people involved.
No, and this was like kind of the fun thing. Maybe he had good reasons for it, but it's like,
well,
it makes it fun.
Yeah, I was going to say he might have had good reasons. He might not have. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you're typically a jerk if this happens. I wouldn't default to taking his side. But
oh, no, I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm just saying, regardless, it's fun to boo.
Yeah, have a guy to
hate boo. Players on the other team. Like,
that's what makes sports fun.
We hate Sidney Crosby.
And why? He's good.
Right. And we're always going to say he's a baby and he stinks.
Yes.
And you know, Penguins fans have to get over it and they have to just like deal with the fact they only got him because a guy named Dick Tarnstrom was their leading scorer one season. You know, it's just fun. And, you know,
it was really though. It's really not fair that the Penguins got all those draft picks those years. Like you're supposed to miss on a couple high picks.
That's what's crazy. That's what's goofy about it is that, I mean, Crosby, and then they didn't get the number one overall pick
Fleury
next year. And it was Ovechkin was the first overall pick. And then they had to settle for Malkin.
Yeah.
And they had Marc-Andre Fleury. And then they had a couple other high picks.
You're supposed to like, there's supposed to be two or three busts involved. Not all of them hit.
And the other thing is that like first round picks, even high ones. I mean, obviously Crosby was extremely touted.
Yeah.
Highly touted. But he was like
a generational player. Okay.
Just having a guy that plays like 10 seasons. And maybe he's like a middle six forward or a, you know, middle pairing defenseman. Like that's good. Like unless he's, you know, supposed to be like if Connor Bedard ends up being a middle six forward for his career, we'll call that a bust. But I mean, for the most part, most guys, if they have a long career in the NHL, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Like James Van Riemsdyk, number two overall pick.
He's had a nice career.
Yeah, he's not Patrick Kane, but he's had a good career. Then you look at a guy like Nolan Patrick, who the Flyers also drafted number two overall pick, and he is no longer in the league.
And that's what's not fair about it.
Yeah, it's just wild that that all those guys hit. But it is what it is.
Yeah, and that's why he stinks and everyone hates him. So there's that.
So changing the subject. What do I want to do? Okay, I'll save that for later.
All
right. We wanted to do some Get On Zero stuff we haven't talked about in a while. It is a new year. Things have changed recently with Get On Zero a little bit. Not the strategy or anything. Well, we have the ETFs do their thing. They got approved, I guess, after we recorded. And the price went up a little bit. The price went back down. And it's kind of middling around and just doing whatever. And it doesn't really change anything we said to do. We just keep doing your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you see you thought the price was going to pump up and it hasn't. Right. We're like less than a week into it. This is just a small moment in time. Whether or not the ETF got approved or whatever was not going to make or break Bitcoin. It's just an exciting moment in Bitcoin's journey that you're going to have something like this happen. That it's just showing that, okay, it's really gaining momentum. So all that kind of stuff, whatever, just stay the course. This like week of the price doing what it's doing, and in a year from now, we're going to be laughing about it. If you're not already laughing about it. But what's different is that we're not, remember back in the day when we first started and everyone made fun of us?
Mm-hmm.
And the price went down and everyone made fun of us.
They were making fun of us because of Bitcoin, right?
I guess. It wasn't our
personalities or the way we treat people or.
What do you say? I don't know.
I'm saying they're making fun of us for our Bitcoin stance, not because we should be made fun of because of who we are.
No, I'm talking about Bitcoiners were making fun of us. Other maximalists.
Yeah, everyone was.
Which was funny because when we got a little bit toxic, it was like, you guys shouldn't be so mean. You'll get more people to go along with what you're doing if you were nicer. It's like, okay, Mr. Toxic. It's not so fun when you're on the other end.
It's just like hilarious too. Just that it's such a like, I don't know, weak thing to say. Like, could you imagine being like, yeah, I was gonna get into Bitcoin, but I decided to go Ethereum because the Bitcoin people were mean.
Yes, but people say that unironically. That happens.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's because people don't do things because they have conviction. They don't do things because they understand something. They do something because they feel validation from other people.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's like, because a lot of Bitcoiners, and we talk about libertarians like this too, it's just they want to be contrarians, but they want to be contrarians in their group. They want to be the underdogs. Some people just want to be the losers. We were talking about this with Mark Moss. Is that his name? I think so. A week or two ago, how he's just, he comes out and he goes, I don't understand why people are rooting for banks here. And it's like, no, we're not rooting for banks. We're celebrating that Bitcoin's winning so hard that they are forced to do a Bitcoin ETF, even though they hate us.
Mm-hmm.
Back there were a lot of Bitcoin maximalists that would make fun of us. The price went down and every once in a while there'd be a tweet from someone to go, oh, has anyone checked on the Get On Zero people? How are they doing? Are they doing okay? Oh, what a disaster. And then
I forgot about that. That's
a couple of us find the tweet and we're like, no, we're doing great. Do you want us to talk about it?
I forgot. I can't believe I forgot about that.
So smug and just so silly because these guys are all in on Bitcoin except that's what they claim. And then someone's like, no, yeah, I actually am all in on Bitcoin. And they go, oh, you idiot. I can't believe you're not holding on to fiat. But now it's starting to mainstream, at least in our circles. We had Jack Mallers come out and make a tweet and was on, I think, Bloomberg. But talking about how he's like, I'm done holding the dollar. Like, I am all in on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And he goes, I just floated on my credit card. They posted the clip of him on Bloomberg. And he basically made the Get On Zero argument and strategy of what to do in about a minute. Which is incredible because we've taken 36 podcast episodes each an hour and a half long.
Yeah.
explain it. So, you know, screw you, Jack. But no, it's great because he's like a big guy in the Bitcoin space, and he's just bringing clarity to it, and he's showing like, oh no, this is what I'm doing. This is what I have conviction for, and I think it makes total sense. How in this environment, how do you hold the dollar? How do you want to hold the dollar at all? And if the price of Bitcoin drops a little bit while we're doing this, fine. My paycheck will buy more Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to, time to do this. And then you've got Fold getting ready to, you know, basically do what we've been asking for with the Bitcoin checking account. They haven't rolled it out yet, but it's pretty exciting to see what they're doing.
Yep.
And then even
and they're talking about joint checking.
Oh, really? That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's been something a lot of people have been asking for.
That would be huge.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And then there's stuff that the guys at Base are trying to do. I got to reach out again to them to get them on the show, because I think what they're doing is really, really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as if they didn't reach out to me and I just never got back to them. Sorry, Brian. and then the other day I saw a tweet where Blockstream, either that or like the Aqua account, but something connected to Blockstream. Maybe it was Gen3, that company. But they were talking about Liquid and specifically mentioned that, like, hey, we need to start implementing Liquid to help get on Zero be a little bit easier. So that's pretty cool to see, like, you know, in the space that these very credible people that are really, you know, like, between Blockstream and Jack Mallers, these are like the professionals.
Yeah.
I've lamented a lot about Bitcoin companies not being serious.
Well, they're starting to get serious.
Well, I mean, just not like they're Bitcoiners running a business as opposed to businessmen who are Bitcoiners running a business, if that makes sense. And that's not to say that a Bitcoiner can't run a business. You can't, but like,
I was going
to
say, we had one on our show.
What?
A guy running a business who's a Bitcoiner?
Yeah. And yeah,
he's not in the Bitcoin space, but he's running.
No, I'm saying a Bitcoiner who's running who's running a Bitcoin business.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Like if we tried to open an exchange or something or some sort of Bitcoin company, like that's running a business like that is not our expertise.
It's not so. Yeah. I mean,
and startups are hard and we're probably going to fail.
Most likely.
But just because we're Bitcoiners doesn't mean that you should, you know,
think we can run a business.
Right. Not to say. And again,
although we have a successful mug business.
We do. Forgot about that. Got to take credit for that. What was I saying? No, but not trying to say, oh, you can't have startups and everything. That's great, but it's difficult to do. And just you have to understand that most are going to fail. But to see companies like or people in Blockstream and Jack Mallers and Strike that are like, I think, pretty credible with what they do,
mm-hmm.
talking about it. Although, to be fair, Jack Mallers hasn't, I think, explicitly said get on Zero. I don't want to put words in his mouth. But over at Strike, they're working on kind of a similar thing. And on that, every time I kind of like change my strategy a little bit, I like to bring it up to get on for the Get On Zero stuff. Not because people have to do exactly what I'm doing, but I think it's useful to hear my journey, kind of the soup to nuts of it. And also just to hear what for people to hear different stories about what other people were doing, different strategies. Because I think a lot of times people, when they hear it, they go, okay, what do I got to do? Tell me what I need to do. And you say, well, just don't hold dollars. And they're like, no, you need to tell me what to do. And we're like, well, I don't know your situation. You got to just make it work for it. There's no right way to do it. It's just the concept of don't hold dollars. Hold Bitcoin. Don't hold fiat. Or, you know, hold out something else that's going to hold your value. I don't know what your expertise is, so I don't know what you're, you know, what's safe for you or what you want to do. So I went it because, you know, Jack Mahler was doing his thing that was pretty cool. I opened up Strike again, and I was just kind of playing around, and I noticed that they had increased my my withdrawal limits. To the point, because right now when I use Cash App and I get paid in Bitcoin, I withdraw, I got to do it in chunks. Because I, you know, you're limited each day how much Bitcoin you can withdraw, and it's not that much. And then you get limited cumulatively for the week. And we've talked about it before. One of the reasons why you don't necessarily want to keep a balance on an exchange that limits your withdrawal is not that you think they're going to be insolvent or whatever, but that's also a threat. But because if the price shoots up and you're limited to, you know, $1,000 of Bitcoin a day that you can withdraw, and then the price triples, all of a sudden, let's say you had $3,000 worth of Bitcoin, you can withdraw $1,000 a day. That would take you 3 days to withdraw. Now all of a sudden the price triples and you've got $9,000. Now it's going to take you 9 days to get off, and then you get paid again, and then that Bitcoin appreciates. Like, it would, unless they increase the withdrawal limits, you're going to be in a situation where you're going to be chasing trying to get your Bitcoin off. So it's just something to think about. So what's good, what's nice is that I looked at Strike, and Jack and Strike were advertising that they were going to increase withdrawal limits and do some other beneficial stuff for users. But I looked and it was already there for me. And it was enough that I could withdraw my entire paycheck with one withdrawal in one day. And I'm like, okay, I think it might be time to go back to direct deposit with Strike. One, it makes it, well, it avoids that situation I just talked about with, you know, taking forever and several days to get your Bitcoin off the exchange. And then the other thing is that it allows me to withdraw in one UTXO. With on-chain fees going up, and I usually have to send at least one on-chain. I got to make one transaction a month outside of the other things I might be doing. But usually if I'm doing other things, I try to use Lightning. But I have to send Bitcoin back to the exchange to convert it to fiat to pay off my monthly expenses. And with fees going up, and I don't want it sitting in limbo forever, especially if I have a deadline on my HELOC payment that's due. On a 101 car fee, I don't want to be it's sitting in the mempool forever. So I need to put a pretty competitive fee on that. And when I have to select multiple UTXOs to send enough Bitcoin to the exchange to do that, then, you know, it's not great. It just makes it more expensive. So if I've got, you know, big UTXOs, then I don't really have to worry about that as much anymore. Now, obviously, I'll be creating some change on that, but I'll just have to manage it and make sure I'm not creating like really small UTXOs and everything. But it's something I'll just have to watch and manage. And I like using Bitcoin, so I'll be happy to do that. So I was thinking, like, I made this decision, like, but I was on Strike for a while, and then I switched to Cash App. I'm like, I don't remember why I did that. Whoever had a reason, it wasn't because Strike was bad. It just Cash App worked better for me. And I knew that we had recorded episode where I announced this and explained why. So that's good to know, because I don't remember, like, I can't even remember, you know, my reasons for doing that. So it's good to have that kind of to journal it and go back to it. But then I remembered, and it was there are two main reasons. One was because when I would send Bitcoin to Strike, it would automatically convert it back to fiat. And when I had to send it, a lot of times I would send it in multiple transactions. And it was annoying because then it would create, when you convert back to fiat, it creates a taxable event. And so I have to, my goal is to have 12 taxable events a year, each one for the monthly conversion back into fiat to pay off the bills. But when you do that, it starts adding more, and it just makes tax time a little bit more annoying. Come to find out that there is a little toggle in the settings that you can not have that happen. So that was stupid on me. But the bigger issue.
Wait, the settings over at Strike?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently that's been around all the time, because I mentioned that in the Get On Zero group chat, and one of the people in there that are in Strike was like, you could just click this little toggle. I'm like, has that always been there? Or
no, I did not know that.
Yeah. I'm like, has that always been there? Or am I just an idiot? And he goes, well, neither. person was being very nice to me, but no, I was an idiot. It's amazing how just like you'll just won't even like I get annoyed with people. Like, you didn't even bother to look, you didn't check, and you just complaining about this.
Oh, you have a little charity over there.
Yeah, some humility.
Yeah. Yeah, I can complain without checking.
Yeah. But the bigger issue was that I can't. So where I do my main fiat banking is a credit union. It's where I have my HELOC. And so it's very easy for me when something comes up, I transfer from the HELOC to the checking account. So it's instant. And it's just really easy to kind of manage it that way. But Strike could not connect directly to my credit union. And so I had to use a intermediary bank. And I had an Ally account for a while, and Strike connected to that. So when I would want to send money from Strike that I converted out of Bitcoin into fiat to my checking account to pay off my monthly bills, I would have to send the ACH transfer to Ally and then wait a couple days for that to go through, and then send another ACH transfer to my credit union. So it adds friction. It takes up time. It's annoying. And so I was just like, you know what? I could connect Cash App directly to my credit union, and it just simplifies that, makes it a lot easier. And it dawned on me, it said, all right, well, I don't have to use the same app for everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to direct deposit into Strike, and when I need to sell Bitcoin, I'm going to send it to Cash App. And then, so I don't have to go through the extra hoops of getting the fiat back to my credit union. So it doesn't make it any more. I already had the two apps on my phone. I'm used to using them. It sounds goofy, and maybe someone wouldn't like it this way. And I understand that everyone's different. Do what works best for you. But I'm opening an app to do each task, whether it's sending Bitcoin to my own private keys or whether it's sending Bitcoin to the exchange to convert back to fiat and send. So I'm just, instead of using the same app each time, just when I'm getting Bitcoin, it's Strike. When I'm selling Bitcoin, it's Cash App. So the workflow doesn't add any workflow for me. But it's going to be a great benefit to just withdraw with one time, one UTXO. So that's pretty neat. It's nice that these tools are getting even something like that. You know, we're waiting for that like next big improvement that's going to make our lives a little bit easier. And it looks like we're kind of right on the horizon of that. But it's nice to see these other little things, you know, get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Remember when we talked about how I couldn't monologue for like 7 minutes before and then just who knows how long that was.
Got it done there.
Tax season's coming up, and this reminds me, I have my spreadsheet that is like, if I sent it out, it would be like a mad scientist thing, and it would be impossible for anyone to figure out what I did. So I got to clean that up and make it usable if someone wants to help their figure out tax lots for Bitcoin. Because once I set it up and got it going, it made it, it like now it's going to be really easy and real fast to do that. So that's cool. It's not cool to pay taxes, but.
I was going to say, what, you like supporting the war? Wasn't that the argument?
From Moss, Mark Moss?
No, just from like clowns in the past.
Oh, saying, oh, you're paying taxes.
Yeah.
Well, these are probably, most of them are probably people that, you know, don't earn enough income to actually pay income tax anyway.
No, what was the other thing they were all saying is that they're, is it tax positive or negative or? Net taxpayer, what would they call themselves? None of them were. No, forget it.
Yeah, I don't know. But, well, it was funny. Oh, yeah. I think I see what you're saying. But what's funny about people. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say.
Something that's funny about people.
Yeah, something about taxes. I don't know. Oh, that's what it is. There's just like these memes that come out in Bitcoin. And these like positions that people have that aren't really have any sort of basis for anything on anything other than just virtue signaling. Like when you present the idea of get on zero to some people, they'll go, well, I'm never selling a Bitcoin ever. It's like, okay. Like, why?
Yeah, why?
It's just, I'm never going to sell. Yeah, okay. Why not? Because I'm never going to sell. Like, we're not suggesting that, like, oh, it hits a certain price, now to get more fiat. No, we're just saying, like, if you don't have any fiat, you have to get rid of some Bitcoin to live. But I guess if you want to just be able to say that you never sold Bitcoin, and that matters, that virtue signal matters more than accumulating more Bitcoin, then so be it. I guess that's whatever you want. So, Slappy, do you like pizza?
Yes.
Okay. What if I told you that there was a way to have infinite pizza?
Cool.
All right. So, did you know that if you keep slicing a pizza, like normally a pizza has 8 slices?
Yeah.
But did you know that you could have double the slices if you cut it twice as many times?
I, believe it or not, already knew that because when I buy pizza, that's what I do to give the kids a smaller. Well, it gives me twice as much pizza as I had
right
bought.
Yeah, so you can go you know, it's you, hey, how many like how many would you like me to slice this in 8 slices? No, I'm pretty hungry. Make it 16.
Exactly. That's what I do when I order pizza, because I want more pizza. So this is a little trick I found out is you still buy one large. You just, you know, get the little pizza slicer thing, cut it all again. Now I have 16 while the sucker behind me only has 8.
Right. And you can do that as many times as you want.
Oh, yeah, so I can keep going.
You slice it, you double the slices, and you get 32 slices.
That's right.
And you've got 4 times as many slices as you did before, 4 times the amount of pizza.
Yeah.
And
it's a pretty cool trick.
Theoretically, you could do this so many times that you would never run out of pizza.
Yeah.
So, Slappy, I don't know about you, but since I learned this trick, I have never had to buy pizza.
Yeah.
Since I bought my last pizza, and I have pizza whenever I want.
That's awesome.
So I bring this up because this came up a couple years ago. I forget who it was. I think it was like Stephanie Kelton.
Yes, I think it was the MMT lady.
Yes,
I think you're right.
And she said something like, and my apologies if it wasn't her.
It might as well have been. Don't apologize to her. But
yeah. I was going to say that, like, she's so filled with bad takes in economics that it's not my fault.
Yeah.
If I, you know, misattributed something to her. But she was interacting with Bitcoiners and
I couldn't believe she wasn't getting this concept too.
They're saying like, well, Bitcoin is scarce. There's only 21 million of them. So whereas the Fed and the fiat system can print infinite money. And she goes, I don't you know what you mean by Bitcoin being scarce when each Bitcoin is
going to be divided
into 20 or 100 million.
Keep dividing it.
Right. 100 million Satoshis that you guys talk about all the time. And she's got absolutely slammed.
But and not like evidently like she's I would assume she has a PhD. People think mm-hmm. she's like intelligent.
Yep.
Could not grasp that concept.
Or, you know, probably once someone was like, well, once the dogpiling happened and she got just absolutely pummeled for it, I hope she realized how stupid it was, what she said.
But you should understand that. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Not... You shouldn't need, like, that just can't come out of your mouth. Like,
it's really bad.
Yeah. Confusing scarcity and divisibility. And so you would think that something that like no one would be able to repeat that. Well, enter Samantha Leduc or Leduc, or
I don't know Leduc. How to say it.
I was going to say something else, but I'm glad I didn't. And I wasn't even going to say, I wasn't even with snark. So Samantha Leduc she's on like Bloomberg and CNBC and Yahoo Finance.
Very intelligent.
I'm reading this just on her Twitter profile. Her tagline on her header is "Get the trade before it happens, macro to micro, market timing calls."
All right.
And she decided recently to, I guess once the ETFs hit, to finally engage these Bitcoiners because the Bitcoiners are getting uppity. And excuse me, but you guys are just like internet people that are amateurs and don't understand anything. I am a professional. I am an expert. Let me explain some stuff to you guys.
Yikes. I didn't see any of this, by the way, so I don't know where you're going with this.
Well, it was trying to like. It was weird. I kind of read it, but it was just like. The traditional finance stuff just like that just bores me.
Put me to sleep.
Yeah. Like there's a reason we don't ever talk about that stuff because I don't care about it. All I know, when I was on the Signal with Carr a few weeks ago, I kind of said that. Like, I think people expect me to, like, understand all the macro stuff, and when the Fed talks about basis points, and
just don't care.
They're putting the consumer, what's it called, price index out there. And I understand what that concept, the consumer price index, is. But like, I don't follow it. I don't really pay attention when someone's like, "Oh man, the Fed went up 3 basis points. I thought they were going to do something else." I'm like, I don't know. I don't care, because it doesn't matter. Because Bitcoin's going to win, and whatever they do in the meantime, it's like what I said to Carr. It's like if I had a boxing match with Mike Tyson, and there were like people watching me in the ring and everything, going like, "Oh, what's Rollo going to do?" And like have all this analysis talking about like, "Oh wow, look at his jab. His jab looks pretty quick. And ooh, look at his footwork looks pretty good." And blah blah blah, and talking about how, "Oh well, he can get this. If he does this, we'll be able to do that," and everything. And none of it matters, because as soon as Mike Tyson wants the fight to end, he is going to knock my head into the stratosphere.
Well, that's how Floyd Mayweather handled, what's his face? Conor McGregor.
Yes. And that's what Bitcoin is to the traditional finance system and to fiat. That's what Bitcoin's doing. You can turn knobs and everything and do all this kind of stuff, but when it's time and it's over.
As soon as that Bitcoin CEO. Besides,
well, it's just so funny to me how there's so many people with so much confidence. And I made a tweet the other day, and someone commented, and they made the comment like, "Oh, I don't understand how you Bitcoin maximalists are so still excited about Bitcoin with the ETF going on." And it's just like, that means it's captured.
I'm like, yeah.
Can you explain it to him? Why does this mean
BlackRock?
And they're like, "Oh, derivatives." And I'm like, "Okay, explain how derivatives." And they couldn't do it. They just got like real weird and was just like, "Well, I don't have time. You refuse to listen to me." I'm like, "I just asked you." I haven't even made a, like, other than I think Bitcoin's, I like Bitcoin. I haven't really made a claim here. Just, all right, you don't think Bitcoin's going to work and you think it's captured because of derivatives. How do derivatives capture Bitcoin? And just no idea.
Yeah, sorry, so this you're person, too stupid.
Yeah. It's like unreal. Unreal how ignorant people are that when you just ask them, "Well, why?" And then it's like they're a robot that got water dumped on their head. How they react. It's brutal. Super frustrating trying to ever have a conversation with someone that disagrees with you. They can't even formulate a thought. But anyway. So our girl Samantha had a tweet about scarcity and blah 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 blah, and someone, this at Lisa 00007369, replied, "And it's not even remotely scarce. There could be only one Bitcoin and it still wouldn't be scarce. It's sold in units of sats, and there are over 2 quadrillion of those." And then I think there are more tweets after that. And so Samantha replies, "Interesting. Serious question then. If one Bitcoin is sold in units of, quote, sats, and there are over 2 quadrillion of those, how can they claim scarcity, lack of dilution, hedge against inflation, debasement? This would seem to be common knowledge and, well, math?" Holy smokes.
You got to play that clip from Billy Madison. when they're doing the trivia thing, like the whole room is now dumber for having listened. You are awarded no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, what's amazing to me, I actually said not that, but that reminds, there was someone else that was trying to lecture me about something. Oh, about there's this account called Bad Jobs, I forget, but it's like they replied to something I said. Oh, that girl that got fired from that software company.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is because of, they gave some, like, it's not because of fiat. Fiat doesn't have to be inflationary. And I'm like, no, it's because of fiat. And then they went and, like, had this tweet and replied. And I just responded, like, these, like, four sentences you just wrote are just total nonsense. Like, none of it makes sense. Not trying to be a jerk, but, like, none of that makes any sense. And I don't even know where to start because it's just gobbledygook. But what's amazing, going back to Samantha's tweet, what's amazing here is that she apparently did not know that you could break Bitcoin up into smaller chunks, or at least didn't know that they were sats, you know, Satoshis or sats. Didn't know, you know, a Bitcoin is 100 million sats. Mm-hmm. She starts it then like, interesting, serious question then. If one Bitcoin is sold in use of these, quote, sats, so you're going to like sit here and lecture on us on a stuff, and you don't even like know the basic mechanics of, not that you would have to, like, it doesn't matter, like the how many, you know, there could be 21 million Bitcoin, there could be 45 Bitcoin, there could be a trillion Bitcoin. It doesn't matter. What matters is that there's a supply cap and we know what the emission rate is. Right. The actual number doesn't really matter because you'll just adjust. If suddenly everyone, there's going to be 42 million Bitcoin, and it still had scarcity and everything, then it just, the price would get, against the dollar, get cut in half. Obviously, there would be other implications to that, but just like when you're listening, just humor me on that kind of situation. It wouldn't matter. It's just a unit of account. That's fine. So you don't necessarily need to like know that, but if you're going to go and like go, oh, all right, it's the adults need to talk now, and you just don't even know like the basic mechanics of Bitcoin. It's just these. That's why I was asking. I think it was our episode. I wasn't with Carr. Maybe I asked Carr too. It's like, do these people have any idea what's coming? Not that like she could just be, you know, just a puppet up there that gets told what to say, and she's just, you know, utterly controlled. I don't know. Maybe she comes up with this stuff on her own and her team and everything, and she's got autonomy in that sense. But just, it's unreal. Not to mention too that like the whole, doesn't understand the difference between scarcity and division and divisibility. But these are the experts. These are the people who are on TV explaining and telling people how to invest.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she came and got I think there were some comments about being like, oh, finally someone had, you know, was nice to me. But what drives me crazy is that you have these people come in, roll their sleeves up and go, haha, all right, I'm finally going to acknowledge, you know, you Bitcoiners. All right, well, we'll pretend that you got a seat at the adults table now. And then they just go on to say the most mind-numbingly stupid thing in the world. Like, she should get fired from her job over these tweets because they are so bad and so ignorant. She won't, because I don't think her managers probably realize or care.
Do you know how hard it is to get fired?
Yes. Not from experience.
No, I mean, I haven't been fired either. But there's either layoffs or you have a job forever.
Or at least, like, you know what? We're not going to put you on so Bloomberg anymore. We're not going to put you on Bloomberg anymore. Like, at least, like,
I guess, actually, you know what, that I will take that back somewhat. That is the one industry where people do get fired.
Yeah.
Your ratings are down or whatever. But see, the mere fact that we're talking about her is probably good for her job.
Mm-hmm. Which is insane. Whatever. What was I going to say? It drives me crazy. And I don't know either way, because I didn't really look that much into the rest of her tweets. But it drives me crazy when you have someone, all right, I'm going to talk to the Bitcoiners, and they say something absolutely just so stupid and dumb. And then they get torn to shreds, and then they turn around and go, once they realize just
Bitcoin, yeah.
Yeah, once it's so clear that they said something really stupid, they turn around and go, if you Bitcoiners were nicer, then maybe you'd have more people want to be in Bitcoin. And it's like all of a sudden it's we're the jerks, even though, man, the amount of smugness and just like being mean spirited and obviously just considered, you know, treating us like we're a joke. It's amazing how fast these people turn around and go like, you should be nicer to me after just being the most arrogant, cocky
name calling.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? Sometimes you deserve to be called an idiot. You know.
Well, I mean, it's probably true. But I also, like, when you're on the internet, I expect to be called names.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you go on Twitter and then you say, okay, fine, you guys are right, but you don't have to be so mean. I mean, that just kind of comes with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and like it could I said, be any know. Topic at all. It could be, right. You know, sports or whatever other topics are out there. People are going to call you names.
Right, but it's one thing if it's like when we're in the beginning of the episode, if I tweeted saying, like, I think Aaron Rodgers is better than Brett Favre, and someone's like, you idiot, Brett Favre was better, I can't believe, that's normal internet stuff.
Yeah.
I expect that. But it would be another thing if I went and said, Aaron Rodgers, the famous running back for the Minnesota Vikings, and was going to, you know, explain to someone how he was the best running back ever. Like, that's a little bit different when everyone, like all the Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Brett Favre supporters come in and be like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about. You're an idiot. And I think that's more of the case.
It is.
Now, obviously, people will pile on and maybe
they'll
be mean.
But then at the end of the day, if you were like, okay, fine, Aaron Rodgers isn't a running back, but you don't have to be so mean about it. It would be like, shut up. You're on the internet. Obviously.
Yeah.
You're going to be mean about that. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it would be much different if someone like kind of popped in and be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, was he a running back? You might have a couple people be like, you idiot. But I think for the most part, people will just be like, nah, he was a quarterback. Obviously, you don't.
Yes, and you would have a handful of but that, I guess that's my point, is you would have a bunch of people going like, oh, no, he was the quarterback. And you'd have a few people say, this idiot thinks Aaron Rodgers is a running back. And then at the end of it, you could take that however you like. You could say everyone was so mean to me. And then we could point to, you know, 15 tweets where they were like, this wasn't mean. They were just correcting you. Yeah, but these people said I was stupid. Right. It happens on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't even know what my point is other than that.
No, it's just like,
you're always going to get comments on the internet this late. Like, if you want to say Bitcoiners are mean, well, of course they are, but so is everyone else.
Right. Yeah.
And for all those mean Bitcoin tweets, there's probably a handful or more than a handful that are really nice trying to explain it, and you're either not listening or you are and still listening to the mean tweets.
That's the thing. If she came out and said, like, hey, I'm trying to understand why you guys are so into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You like it, people would have been, you know, it would have been bursting at the seams.
How excited Bitcoiners would get if someone would say, can you please talk to me about Bitcoin?
Yes. Well, it's like bring it up all the time because it's such a I think it's such a neat thing when Louis C.K.
Yeah.
did it. And like I think he was kind of like snarky in the beginning when he brought it up, but he actually engaged with people and listened and thought. And by the end of it, he's like, oh, I think you guys convinced me. I think you turned me.
Yeah.
Because he's actually and he's a comedian. So he's a guy that is a comedian. He's going to take anything that anybody says and is capable of turning it around and making them look like an idiot and having everybody laugh at him. So like, yeah, he came in aggressive and everything, and people were going to be aggressive back. Like you could take your, like if you had a shot to turn it around on a really famous comedian, people are going to do that. But that was an example of a guy that was, you know, ready to go to battle and make fun of everybody. It was like, turn him around.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah.
That was really, really neat to see. It's nice because it's like, say what you want about Louis C.K. He's had some issues. I don't really follow the comedian stuff. So it's like, you know, I don't really have, I've seen him in some stuff and it was funny.
Same.
But, you were just so used to people that have a celebrity status that they're just idiots where they're incapable of thinking. But clearly the way that he was able to engage people, and not, I'm not just saying this because he turned around and agreed with stuff, but you could tell that he was like thinking about it and engaging it. Meanwhile, you've got another comedian like Owen Benjamin who just was engaging with it with people, but just clearly like all the gears in his brain were just grinding together and could not make heads or tails of anything anybody said. So it's just nice to see. I appreciate it. So that's all I got. Steelers losing yet?
Good question.
Let's see. I'm sure this is what everybody wants. Yep, they're losing. 7-0. Still in the first quarter though. So anyway. That's it. Go Birds, go Flyers. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.